Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I'll be reading from verse 45. John 4, 45. So when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they too came to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Galilee, from Judea to Galilee, he went to meet him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official pleaded with him, "Sir, do come down at once before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed that Jesus said to him, and started home. As he was already going down the road, his servants met him and reported that his son was living and was healthy. So he asked them at what time he began to get better. They said, "Yesterday, during the seventh hour," that's around 1 p.m., "the fever left him." Then the father realized that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son lives." And he and his entire household believed and confidently trusted in Jesus as Savior. Lord bless his holy words.
Amen.
This passage tells the story of the healing of a royal official. I call him a nobleman. The healing of a nobleman's son. It demonstrates the power of active faith in Jesus Christ, the kind of active faith that changes a person. It demonstrates the authority and the nature of the authority of Christ. It illustrates the deepening of our relationship with God, which Christ can bring. The nature of Jesus Christ's authority we see in this passage. And if we just go back and look at verses 46 to 48, so when Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son was sick in Capernaum, having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea to Galilee, he went to meet him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will not believe." This man, this nobleman, he was a royal official. He was a man of influence. Some Bible versions just call him a nobleman. Some call him a royal official. Whatever he was called, he was no ordinary person in the society. He was a man of influence, a man of wealth, a man of power. Yet, despite his status, he finds himself in a place of need, in a place of desperation, in a state of helplessness, because his son was seriously ill, was almost dying, at the point of dying. And no amount of resources or authority that he has been able to heal the son. And this reflects a universal truth, consciousness, that regardless of our achievements, regardless of our statuses, we all face moments when we are confronted with the limitations of our power, the limitations of our control, especially in matters of life and death. In our very own lives, we might find ourselves in similar situations, desperately seeking help, whether it be for health issues, whether it be for family crisis, financial difficulties, spiritual turmoil. It is crucial to recognize that, like this nobleman, our desperation at those moments can and do lead us to seek help beyond our immediate circumstances or immediate sphere of influence. This official, this nobleman, went to seek out Jesus, showing that true power lies not in his status, but in our willingness to reach out in faith. Remember Naaman, who was a leper and had gone all the way to see the man of God. And the man of God told him to go and dip in the river. And for a moment he was like, "What? I've come all this way. I expected you to pray for me or lay hands on me." And he was almost going to go away in irritation. But thankfully for a slave girl who said, "If he had told you to do mighty things, you'll have done it. How about such a little thing as just going to dip yourself in the river?" And we know how he was healed. True power lies in our willingness to reach out in faith, to move in faith. And that is the nature of the power of Christ. When Jesus responded to this nobleman, see what Jesus said. "The man has come, oh Lord, my son is ill, almost at the point of dying. Come and see this, my child." Jesus replies with, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." What a response. And this response seems discouraging, seems like not to the point at all. But you see, that response points to a deeper issue of faith which Jesus was going into. So many people are in the crowd following power, men of God. Like here, many people in that crowd are following Jesus for the miracles. But true faith goes beyond seeking signs. True faith is to trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Not looking for signs and wonders, but to have faith, to trust in the power of Jesus. Let's reflect, and we must always reflect on our motivation for faith, for power, for demonstrations of signs and wonders. Are we drawn to Jesus merely for the miracles or the blessings we believe he can provide? I ask you. Or do we seek a deeper relationship with him, with God? Do we seek for a relationship that goes beyond our immediate needs and circumstances. Our immediate needs and circumstances are relevant. And maybe in many instances, that's all we can see at that moment. But Jesus, by saying, unless people see signs and wonders, you never believe, is going beyond that. Our relationship with God must go beyond our immediate needs and circumstances. True faith is not simply about receiving and taking. Brothers and sisters, true faith is about recognizing and believing the nature of the authority of Jesus, our Christ, the Messiah. This is stated no clearer than in Philippians, in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. True faith is about recognizing and believing in the nature and authority of Jesus. Again, in Isaiah chapter 45, the book of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn an oath by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. It shall be said of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. To him people will come, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That is the nature of the authority of Jesus. Every knee shall bow in submission. God will be victorious to the ends of the earth. And all who are against him, all who are angry at him, will be put to shame. Every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all of this, not to the glory of man, not to the glory of any individual, but the glory of God the Father. That is the nature of the authority that Jesus has, had, has, and will have has forevermore. So going on to this nobleman, there was a demonstration of faith in Jesus in this nobleman's actions. He had faith when he left his house. He had faith that Jesus could heal his son. He had faith that Jesus could heal his son. Also, he had faith. He submitted. He wasn't arrogant. He was humble. He didn't send for Jesus. Remember the centurion whose servant was ill and sent to Jesus, and Jesus was coming, and he said, oh no, please don't come into my house. Just send the word. Now, this nobleman also lived in the same city as that centurion, Capernaum. But he, this nobleman, who is the story which we are reading here, he got up and he traveled, and I've checked, he traveled the 15 miles to Cana to see Jesus. He got up and he walked. Maybe he had to chariot, but I guess he walked the 15 miles to Cana to see Jesus. And though Jesus' initial response to him was not encouraging, because he came to Jesus, "My son is dying," and Jesus is telling him, "Unless you see signs and wonders," he was not discouraged. He continued to press his request. He continued to press him. Verse 46, "Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus has come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son." He went 15 miles to beg him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, just come down before my little boy dies." He did not take offense. He didn't permit himself to be discouraged by what Jesus said. He simply continued to plead for his son. His desperation was driving him into persistence. His faith was active, was acting. His faith was demonstrating in actions. Just like the Apostle James wrote in the book of James that, "I will show you my faith by my works." This man was showing his faith by his actions. This man, this nobleman, wasn't giving up because he actively believed. Yet when Jesus seemingly rebuked him with that initial remark, he didn't understand that Jesus was actually about to take his faith to another level. To test his faith to another level. But thank be to God, he didn't give up. And Jesus took his faith to another level, as we read on, Jesus deepened his spiritual understanding. Jesus strengthened his discipleship. When God denies us what we ask for, he usually gives us a better package. Amen?
Amen.
In Hebrews 11, talking about faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Jesus' response was a simple word: "Go, your son will live." This response was significant, and it's as significant as the nobleman's response. A simple word: "Go, your son will live." The man came, he wanted Jesus to come physically. His understanding was this needed Jesus to be there to do that which he believed that Jesus could do. Jesus' response was a simple word after the initial seemingly rebuke. This was, "Go, your son lives." But he believed. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He believed. Jesus does not need to be physically present to heal the boy. Jesus knew that. The man did not know that. But he had faith. And he believed. You see, the word alone carries authority and power. The man believed. "Go. Go. Go, your son will live." He believed. Hebrews 11 that we're reading, we go to verse 6 of that same chapter 11 of Hebrew 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please Him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. Without faith, my brothers and sisters, it is impossible to get anything from God. It's by grace, but you must first believe that He is, that He exists, and that needs faith. In our lives, we often seek tangible evidence of Jesus' involvement, the involvement of Jesus. However, faith sometimes requires to trust in His promises. Even when things seemingly bleak, when things look or appear, or we think, yeah, it's our thought, isn't it? We think it's a hopeless situation. When Jesus speaks into our situation, and He speaks through His word, He speaks through His prophets, He speaks into your heart. When Jesus speaks His word, that word or words can transform hopelessness into hope, despair into hope, into joy, if you have faith. This nobleman's faith was evident in his action, in his living home. But when he got the word, scripture says he left for home. He left for home. That's what he's come for. And he's come to meet Jesus. And he said his peace. And he's pleaded. And Jesus gave him that word, go. And he believed. And he went home. He believed. And as this official made his journey back home, he's met by servants and they give him the good news. The son lives. Your son is alive, sir. The timing of that healing aligns perfectly with when Jesus spoke the words of assurance. That moment, not only confirms the miraculous power of Jesus, but also highlights, blows into understanding the noble man's faith. Transcends it, expands it, his faith. Picture it. He came to see Jesus. He pleaded with Jesus. Jesus gave him an answer which was almost like rebuking him, brushing him aside. He didn't. He stayed focused. He stayed focused on what he had come for. He was not going to allow those words which were not actually what he expected. He wasn't going to let them deter him. He stayed focused. Go, your son lives. He believed. His faith was working. And as he's going, his servants meet him. And they tell him, wow, your son is alive. We know that he asked them, at what time? At what time did it happen? And they said to him, oh, around 1 o'clock. 1 p.m. And Jesus realized, the man realized that was about the same time when Jesus had said to him, go, your son lives. Can you imagine what his faith became at that moment? Can you imagine what overflowing power and joy and realization came into the mind. Because that moment not only confirms the miraculous power of Jesus, but also his faith, realizing I believed, his life was never going to be the same again. And the passage concludes with the declaration that he and his entire household believed and confidently trusted in Jesus as Savior. This is a powerful testament of how our personal faith can ripple out to affect others. Like drop a stone in the pond and the ripples spread out. That's how powerful our personal faith can affect others. When we place our faith in Jesus, his power is able to transform our families, our communities, and beyond. Amen.
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 May we be like this nobleman, to be willing to leave our places of despair and seek Jesus and trust in his word. As we do so, let us also be vessels of his healing and hope, sharing the good news of his love and power with those around us. Let us pray for the courage to trust in his promises. Let us pray for the grace to share our faith with others. For truly, faith in Jesus is life-changing. It's life-changing for ourselves, for our households. Amen.
Amen. Amen.